The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to SMA News Today's Audio News. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at smanewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Using ultrasound may help in SPMA diagnosis, study shows. Men with spinal and bulbar muscular atrophy, or SBMA, were found to have abnormally small nerves in the limbs, especially the arms, as measured by ultrasound, a study showed. These findings support the use of ultrasound as an additional tool to identify SBMA and improve selection for genetic testing, the scientists said. In this small study of SBMA patients, the ultrasound changes were striking and sufficiently severe to be detected in individual patients, the researchers wrote. The study, Nerve Ultrasound Detects Abnormally Small Nerves in Patients with Spinal and Bulbar Muscular Atrophy, by researchers based at Tauranga Hospital in New Zealand, was published in the journal Muscle and Nerve. SBMA, also referred to as Kennedy's disease, is an adult-onset form of spinal muscular atrophy that mainly affects men and progresses very slowly. The condition is caused by inherited defects in the androgen receptor gene, which encodes for a protein that binds androgens, a group of hormones that includes testosterone, that are important for male development. However, how androgen receptor defects lead to damage in nerves that control movement or motor neurons remains poorly understood. Hallmarks of SBMA are progressive weakness and atrophy or shrinkage in the muscles closer to the body, such as the arms and legs, and the bulbar muscles of the mouth and throat. Nerve abnormalities in SBMA have been observed beyond motor neurons, including in the dorsal root sensory ganglia, a group of nerve cells adjacent to the spinal cord that relay sensory information, such as touch or heat, from the extremities to the spinal cord and brain. In some cases, however, sensory nerve impairment may go undetected as symptoms are subtle. Moreover, findings from nerve tests may not meet the diagnostic criteria for sensory-related nerve damage or sensory neuropathy, leading to missed or delayed diagnoses. Ultrasound has been used to identify smaller nerves that result from other conditions associated with sensory neuropathy, but not in patients with SBMA. We investigated the hypothesis that patients with SBMA show the reduction in nerve size characteristic of other inherited sensory neuropathies, suggesting a role for ultrasound in the evaluation of patients with possible SBMA, the researchers wrote. The team recruited 7 men with genetically confirmed SBMA, without a history of neuropathy, diabetes, or other conditions associated with nerve damage. A group of 18 patients with acquired sensory neuropathy, the majority caused by diabetes, was included as a comparison alongside 42 neurologically healthy people as a control group. Ultrasound was used to measure the cross-sectional area of the median and ulnar nerves that extend through the arm and the sural nerve of the calf and the tibial nerve behind the knee joint. All patients underwent electrical conduction tests, electrophysiology of motor and sensory nerves in similar areas. The analysis revealed that the cross-sectional areas of nerves in SBMA patients were significantly smaller than those of the neuropathy patients and the controls at all sites measured. Differences were more pronounced in the upper limbs, with mean upper limb cross-sectional areas in SBMA patients 1/3 smaller than acquired neuropathy patients, and about half the size of healthy controls. On average, the upper limb nerves in acquired neuropathy patients were more than 1/4 larger than controls. When compared with reference values, the individual upper limb nerve cross-sectional areas were smaller in SBMA patients, compared with none in the acquired neuropathy patients. Sensory nerve conduction tests showed reduced electrical signals in 6 SBMA patients. Signals generated due to muscle contractions were lower in the median and or ulnar arm nerves in all 7 SBMA patients, and the tibia and or peroneal nerve just below the knee in 2. Acquired neuropathy patients also had reduced or absent nerve signals and normal or slightly reduced signal speeds. Muscle contraction signals were lower in the tibial and or peroneal nerve in 12 of these patients. While the study was small, The researchers noted that the changes shown via ultrasound were striking and severe enough to be detected in individual patients. This suggests that ultrasound could be used as an additional tool for the identification of SBMA in patients with lower motor syndromes, which could also improve efficacy for selection of genetic testing, the team wrote. Future studies on a larger population are planned to confirm these preliminary findings, explore correlations between ultrasound, electrophysiology, genetic defects, and clinical parameters of disability, and establish the stage in the disease course when the ultrasound abnormality becomes evident, they added. This news article was written by Steve Bryson, PhD, on February 9, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the SMA News Today's website.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Forum's moderator, Deanne Runge.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Deanne Runge, SMA News Today content creator. Alyssa Silva's recent post about her hospital stay has me thinking about my time in the hospital. It's been a while, but it feels like just yesterday. It started in the typical fashion. A cold turned into a cough that I couldn't shake that led to pneumonia. While in the hospital, they deduced my swallow, or lack thereof, was contributing to my stubborn pneumonia. The solution? A feeding tube. Despite my reluctance, I did it. Do I love it? No. Did it save my life? Debatable. But I'm still here, so maybe? At the time, I thought I had SMA figured out. I knew about losing my arm strength and breathing issues, needing a cough assist, BiPAP, and someday maybe a trach, were all in the realm of known possibilities down the road. Swallowing issues, however, weren't even on my radar. A nurse walked in while I was in tears processing everything and tried reassuring me that it was probably just temporary. She didn't know SMA like I do. Nevertheless, in true SMA fashion, I sucked it up and 7 years and 4 failed swallow studies later, I still sport the Mickey feeding tube. My neurologist has suggested another swallow study, but I'm over it, so I declined. Is there anything about SMA that has taken you by surprise? How did you deal with it? I share my stories in hopes similar news won't catch the next person by such surprise. Not that it will happen, especially with the changing landscape of SMA, but at least know it's in the realm of possibilities. But that's all I have for you guys today. I hope you're having a good day. If you want to ask any questions or chat about anything, head on over to the forums at smanewstoday.com/forums. Bye for now.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.